And now a word from our sponsors at Betterment. If you're listening to my show, you're looking for tips on how to work smarter, not harder. And let's be real, you're already working hard to earn your money, but how do you make sure that your money is working hard for you? Here's how. With a Betterment automated investment and savings app, your money will go to work. They've got technology that will provide you with advanced tools, and they're built to help maximize your returns, not to mention your time. They have expert-built portfolios of low-cost exchange-traded funds. You know I love those exchange-traded funds. There's automated investing technology, and as part of that, automated rebalancing. Many of you have been asking about rebalancing, and it sort of feels like a hard thing to do on your own. With Betterment, easy peasy. They do it for you. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Learn more about high-yield cash accounts at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed. Cash reserve offered through Betterment LLC and Betterment Securities. Betterment is not a bank. With Fidelity Wealth Management, a dedicated advisor can work with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Plus, you'll have access to specialists in estate planning strategies. So you're not just growing and protecting your wealth, you're sharing it. More at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC. Welcome to the Jill on Money podcast. It's Friday, July 9th, and we are here to take the mystery out of your financial life. If you've got a question, give us a shout. Ask Jill at jillonmoney.com. That's our email address. And if you're on our website, jillonmoney.com, click the contact button. Don't forget to tell us if you'd like to join us on the air live. That would be so much fun. Get to hear Mark's voice. It's all good. Let's go out and talk to Monica from Brooklyn.
Well, I just wanted to say that I'm a huge fan, first of all, and thanks for all these podcasts. Last year, I took on understanding of my current and future financial situation to get more in charge of it. And along the way, I discovered your podcast. So I binged on all your episodes, and they've been instrumental in getting a better hold of, you know, where I am. But what I really wanted to find out is how to maximize my earning potential in my investment portfolio. So I'm 36 years old, currently contributing maximum to for my 401k. I have a good amount in savings. Last year I started investing directly in specific stocks. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to figure out what are my best options at this point outside of the retirement account.
Okay.
Is for someone in my position to get more return of the money I have saved. So either to be able to invest in another real estate or to possibly retire early.
Mm. Look at you. You're 36 and you're talking about early retirement.
Yeah.
Who says that Gen X is behind in retirement? So, Monica, how much do you earn?
I earn around 120. I can take you through my finances. Mm-hmm. So I have around 150 in my 401k.
Uh-huh.
I have around another 10,000 in additional IRA. I have some company stocks that I buy at a discount. So that's around 7,000. And then I have in my savings, I have 150,000.
What? Wait a minute. Just plain old savings account?
Yes.
Yep. Oh, my God. You're getting like 5,000 gold stars right now. And how much money in the little stock account?
60,000. All right, 63,000 in the stocks that I'm picking individually.
Oh, my God. You're unbelievable. You're fantastic. Do you own or rent?
I own two-family house in Brooklyn
mm-hmm.
that I purchased in 2008 when the prices went down. Yeah, so I'm currently renting it out completely, and I moved back with my parents for a little bit to just like kind of, you know.
Wait a minute. Stand by. I love this. So you bought a house in 2008 at the bottom.
Yes.
How much did you pay for it?
$690.
And what do you think it's worth now?
$1.2.
Oh, my gosh. It's fantastic. And what kind of mortgage do you have on it?
I have around $3,400 that includes insurance and taxes.
Okay,
so what much I pay
the monthly. Outstanding balance? Do you know how much that is?
Maybe $460.
Okay.
$450.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You're not making any extra payments on that, are you?
I am making one extra payment a year.
Okay.
Usually when I get my tax refund, I usually put one of that towards at least one extra payment.
Okay. What's the interest rate on that? It's got to be a fairly low mortgage.
Yeah, it's 3.75.
You don't need to be paying down a 3.75% loan at this point. I just don't think that's necessary. So the rent that comes in from now, it's two families. So what is the rent that is being generated from this house?
The net I get from that is around $2,300.
Is $2,300. The net after you pay for all of your expenses.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
That's why you're saving so much money.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. You are, if I may date myself, the Leona Helmsley of the modern age Brooklyn. So you're collecting all this rent. You're banking it. And you're leeching off your parents, which is nice. You like your parents, obviously. You're staying there. How long can that situation last, though? I mean, you're 36. What happens if, like, you hook up with somebody and you want to have privacy?
Yeah. I've been in and out of their house for years, so my parents are pretty open. I'm thinking for another year, probably maybe 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I moved in with them, as I said, I wanted to kind of, you know, try to get ahead a little bit because I had the opportunity to do that because I had really good tenants. So
I don't think let me just say that you are amazing. You're absolutely amazing. This is a fantastic situation. Do you want to keep the two-family house as a rental and buy something else? Is that sort of what's cooking around in your brain?
Yes, but the real estate nowadays is just impossible. I mean, I've been looking, but it's just the numbers never work out.
Yeah.
The way, so I would love to have this this house generate income and then get something just for myself, but I just don't see that working out. And with the prices of the houses and how much I would have to pay mortgage, just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, especially since you already own something, and you would be happy living in one side of the house?
Yeah.
Okay.
If the worst case scenario, I'll probably move into one of the apartments, but that would mean that my income would probably at least went down by half, if not two-thirds.
All right, but big deal. I mean, you got a chunk of money, so you're in great shape. So the money that you have in savings, that $150,000, why is that sitting in cash at this point? Just because you don't know what to do with it?
Yes, basically. I started investing, like I said, last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started picking some of the stocks that I started reading about and following. And, you know, and they've been doing pretty well.
Yeah.
But I don't want to, you know, I'm pretty risk, I mean, tolerant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't really mind that much. But the issue is that, you know, I always know that I have to have certain amount of savings.
Mm-hmm.
And listening to your podcast, I think probably around 50 or, you know, 60,000 would be sufficient for
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just finding the best, if it's not real estate, which doesn't seem like it's going to be in the next couple of years, looking at the market, what else can I do so it's, you know, so I get that benefit?
I think the next level for you is that now that you're maxing out your 401k, and I'm going to leave the stock investing aside for a second. I think that maybe it would be interesting for you to use this savings account to become what I would call a supplemental retirement account. And what you would do is you would kind of challenge yourself and say, hey, what would happen if, you know, I left my stock account alone, I used this supplemental, you know, general investment / retirement account to see what it's like to be an index investor. You know, maybe what you would do is you would say, I don't need to be as risky right now with that money. You know, since I've got a bunch of stock money in stocks already, maybe I would just pick four or five different index funds, create a diversified portfolio, a nice asset allocation plan, and maybe have some stocks, you know, U.S., international, some bonds, you know, maybe have a little commodities exposure and do that.
With index funds, you can take the money out at any point.
Anytime. Anytime. There's nothing that you're not committing to anything. What you are essentially saying is, I'm going to invest. I can, and you can, again, you can find an index fund anywhere. You can use a robo advisor, but you are trying to drive down the cost of investing. So you're trying to say, I want to keep my investing cost to under, say, let's say 0.25% a year, you know, and that's it. And then you can pick your own allocation. You can say how risky you want to be, how much in stock index funds, how much is in bond index funds. You can really start to check that out. In your case specifically, because you have so much income, right? Because you have this money that's coming in from the rental, I know it's going to be reduced, but you also have good income. You may want to be just aware that index funds, because it's outside of a retirement account, that it's a more efficient way for you to invest because they're not turning over all the time. It's a fixed basket of assets that you're buying. That's what I would say, that, you know, you're ready to jump into the next rung of retirement savings, which is a supplemental account. The stock investing, look, I'm not an individual stock picker. I'm really not. I'm a believer in index funds. You know, if you want to keep fooling around with the stock stuff and you like that, that's cool. I wouldn't put a lot more money in there. I think that's just fine the way it is. If you've got some good gains or if you've got some losses, be sure to manage that efficiently just in terms of your tax liability. I think that you're in fantastic shape. I really do. I don't think you need to do a lot more. I think you just have to, you know, stick with your plan.
Okay, perfect. So that's what I was wondering about, if I should go also into the try to get some sort of advisor or an index funds were also on my list of possibilities. So that's really great.
If you need financial advice and you want to go talk to a certified financial planner because something's going on in your life or you're contemplating the sale or, you know, you're getting married or you're, you know, all, some life event is occurring, then sure, I think that it's worth going. But for just plain old asset allocation, to put a plan together like that, I think that you're in very good shape. It's a commodity, essentially. You can get that really cheap, either through an index fund or through a robo-advisor. Either way. Well, thanks to Monica for joining us. And if you, too, would like to get on the air, all you need to do is send us your questions. Just say, I want to come on the air with you guys. Our music is composed by Joel Goodman. Mark Talercio is our executive producer. We are distributed by Cadence 13. Do something nice for someone else today and carry us with you with a little bit of a mantra, the Jill on Money mantra of 2021, grit, growth, grace. We'll talk to you tomorrow.